This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Inspiring Voices. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Our Visible God, and joining me from somewhere in the middle part of the western or the eastern part of the United, I think near Knoxville, Tennessee, somewhere in Tennessee, I think, is that correct, is Patricia East Aldridge
Tennessee.
Hinkle.
Johnson City, Tennessee. Yes,
in Tennessee.
Eastern corner, yes.
Yes, welcome to the program, and I looked over your resume and was immediately intimidated. I have a music background, but it's not anything close to yours. Share with us a little of what you have done in your life and why this book got written.
Well, I have always enjoyed writing. I enjoyed poetry and literature from grade school through high school through college, and in fact, when I registered, I don't know if I put that in, I'd share that with you before or not.
Right.
But when I started to register for college, the registrar said, "And what is your major, Pat?" And I said, "English." And she said, "No, it's not." And I said, "It isn't." And she said, "No, English teachers are a dime a dozen. What else would you like to major in?"
Hmm.
And I said, "Well, I've always loved music." And she said, "Okay, let's major in music." So I graduated as a music major.
Wow.
Not an English major.
Impressive.
And then I went on after I was teaching to get my master's, and I got that in literature.
But, you have an interesting background. I would describe you, if I didn't know you well, and I don't know you well, but by looking at your resume, as a hyperkinetic personality. Would that be correct, or am I reading something that's not there?
You wouldn't be too far off. Sorry, I'm outside. There's a big truck.
That's okay.
Okay.
You are hyperkinetic, or were hyperkinetic then.
I'm hyper. The hyper part is
it's still there.
Probably where the emphasis should be, yes.
Yes, because you have led church choirs, you have written plays, presided over orchestras, and in addition to being a music major at school and being an educator. That's a full plate.
Well, the emphasis was on the vocal. I did direct Sarah church instrumental ensemble, which was rather large at times, but I always loved to sing, and I loved to direct, and I love children, and so I have taught K through college. I had 1 year of emergency college because the director, who had been hired for that year, backed out the week before.
Hmm.
The registration, and so I filled in for just a year.
Your book title is Our Visible God, and I understand this book came about not as your primary plan to write it, but as it was shared, some of your writing and your experiences with the publisher. This became
correct.
The focus. Tell my listeners a little of that and the title. Why is that Our Visible God? What's it about?
Well, I just think that if we are looking and listening, that we will see and hear God. But if we dedicate ourselves to a schedule and lose ourselves in that, we don't listen, we don't look, and we are not aware of the many, many different ways that God touches our lives and speaks to us and makes himself very plain to us. But there's the one particular story that is in the book that really woke me up to that. I was not aware of when it happened. And that sealed it completely for me.
And what story is that?
The one that I'm talking about.
Is it the first one in the book, or is it beyond that?
No, it's over in the one that has the pictures in the church.
Ah, yes. Tell my listeners, describe for my listeners how you have written this. Someone just seeing the cover might assume this is a book of poetry. It's not just poetry. It's a little more than that. What is it?
It is not.
How would you describe that?
Well, I was actually talking to the publisher about getting another. In fact, I woke up one night and I had six children's books in my head, complete with all the pictures and the text on each page, and I had the copy. I had message to parents to how to deal with their children on it, and so I was publishing that. And my consultant that I was with whom I was working was asked me a question, and he said. We chatted about other things lots of times as I was talking to him, and he said, "Pat, I bet you've written other things too, haven't you?" And I said, "Well, yes." And said, "Being a church choir director, I would write other things." And so he said, "Well, what? Send me something. I want to see it." So I sent him the You're Not Alone, the one entitled You're Not Alone. And I was really waiting for him to answer me, and he did very soon after he read it. And I had said, "Well, God," at the end of it.
Yes.
"You were with me all day." And he replied, "Well, God, indeed." Because the picture that accompanied, he wanted pictures for the book. And that book hadn't even been thought of when I sent that in.
Incredible. The photos in your book, are those mostly photos that you provided because you took the photos, had the artistic eye, or are they just some that you located or discovered?
No, they're all personal. And they were either taken by me or my family. And some of them were, or those. I'll tell you the picture about that one because it was so unexpected. I was leafing through the pictures from a trip, as I sit in there. And all of a sudden, I just gasped when I came to these two pictures, because what I was looking at was not in my viewfinder. And so I that's what he was so amazed about. And only recently have I realized the enormity of that, because that was taken, those two pictures were taken in a beautiful, beautiful church, a large church in Colorado. And only recently did I realize the size that those pictures would have been in reality. Because they would have filled the sanctuary. And so I'm humbled again.
Sure.
When I think about that.
You've described that as how large it was, and had I actually seen it in that day, I would have certainly fallen on my face as Moses did so often in God's presence.
That was my impulse.
That's a long passion of yours, is it not? I mean, you have a heart that's a worshiper, from what I am seeing in your book, and also one that is
my godly mother.
Yeah, really.
And she was something else. She came from a family of 12 and had to work in a factory when she finished the fifth grade. She helped feed the family. And yet she studied. My father was more educated, and she wanted him to always be proud of her. And so she studied on her own. And she thought that her two girls studied and did well in school and graduated from college. And I could write a book about my mother. In fact, I might still.
She sounds like
but
a powerful lady.
She inspired me to look for things. And growing up on a farm, as I did, I was very aware of nature and animals and plants. And Mother would say, when I would say, oh, isn't that beautiful? And she'd say, well, God made that. And her faith was very simple. It was a very trusting, simple faith. But it was the strongest faith of anyone that I had met in my lifetime.
So you were vaccinated into faith at a young age, and it hasn't left you.
Definitely, definitely.
Beautiful.
And it was a faith that gave me joy. I was a happy kid living on the farm. I just saw beauty in everything, in the animals and the plants and even the work we had to do on the farm. And so she raised me as a happy child. I was expected to do well in school, and I did. And I credit her for anything that I've accomplished. I had a godly father as well. My grandfathers, I had two grandfathers who were ministers, and three, I guess, two of them, I think, were back in the circuit rider days. But I come from a family of faith.
Beautiful.
Hope I'm passing it on to my children and my great-grandchildren and my grandchildren.
The forward in your book, several of the comments that are made there are from former pastors or individuals that you've been associated in the faith family church environment, and they have glowing comments about you and not only your contribution to their congregations, but also your faith. You have, in looking at the contents of your book, there are biographical sketches or contents that are there, but they're not totally focused on you. They're focused on the positive outcomes of either a difficult situation or a joyful situation. And that in itself, would you possibly, when you're writing this, think, well, maybe this could be a devotional or an encouragement to someone that has a sad heart, perhaps?
Well, as the director of music at my church, I also visited the sick, not just my choir members, not just in the music department, but I did visit a lot, and I still do. I'm a volunteer chaplain at one of the hospitals here in Johnson City, and I visit the mothers and the new babies in a maternity wing of the hospital. And I do that each week. And so that's a joy. It's hard to sometimes fit in with everything else that's going on, but it's a blessing to me to be able to still do that. And I hope it's a blessing to the people I visit too.
I'm sure it's a very welcomed visit when you show up in the environment that they are in, good or bad, in the hospital. That's a beautiful, and as many call it, a ministry extension of your life and your faith. The book itself, how would you introduce this, or how would you recap this to my audience to get them perhaps curious at least to look at it and maybe purchase a copy or more copies and send it along to someone else that maybe needs a cheer up?
We all have good times and we have tough times. And sometimes we aren't even sure how we're supposed to get through the good times. But if we're aware that we're not in this journey alone, and I've always known that God was with me, and the more hectic your day gets, the more you need to be reminded of that, or you'll lose your way. So one of the things I try to tell each new mother as I visit, and I usually put my wishes for them in the prayer that I have before I leave the room, and always ask them, would you like for me to have prayer? And 9 out of 10 will say yes, maybe even bigger percentage than that. And but I always try to let them know that they're not going to be alone in this raising children deal, and that assistance and wisdom is available far beyond what they were given. And so I try to include in my prayer the thanking God for creating a beautiful little creature that is equipped in that small body with everything they'll need. If they need it to be 100, It's all there. And I pray for wisdom for the parents and guidance for each day. And I usually, when I'm talking about guidance for each day, I try to drop in I have a 3-word prayer that I try to pray every day as my eyes open and my feet hit the floor. And that prayer is, lead me, Lord.
Beautiful.
You know what they're like, and I don't.
Hmm.
You know what's good or bad, and I don't. But you know the best way through it.
Absolutely.
And when I pray, I talk to God, just as though I'm talking to you. And I feel that God is that close to us, and even closer if we will just open our minds to the wisdom that's available to us. And the compassion for others, and looking to see the beauty that is all around us every day. And this book, with its short little stories, shows just some of the ways, a few of the many ways, that God has made me want to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this insight. Because it's just commonplace things. It's a spider outside my window, my door. It's a cloud in the sky. There are so many things that speak to me that are specific to the situations I'm in at that time.
Well, beautifully put. Beautifully put. You have said that the fun part of writing this was remembering events and seeing again the hand of God guiding thoughts and events, and the most rewarding. And apparently that has happened already, because this book has been released and you see and hear from people who have read it and are cheered up or encouraged by its content. Thank you again for sharing this book and your story, the title of which is Our Visible God. Patricia Aldridge Hinkle has been my guest author. Pat, where do we get copies of this?
Well, it's available, and it's going to be available at major stores, Walmart. It's on the list of the people from whom major stores buy.
Beautiful.
And so I'm hoping that people will get it, because I've had former students that have given it for gifts. It's a neat gift, and they'll give it for Christmas or birthdays or things like that, and it means so much to me when somebody from 15 or 20 years ago, could I get a copy of your book? How can I get a copy? It has been on Amazon. And it is available.
Yes. If they ask their local bookseller to source it for them, they can locate it.
They will order it for you.
Absolutely.
Yes,
again, the title. Yes, the title is Our Visible God. Patricia Aldridge Hinkle is the author, and the publisher, Inspiring Voices. So those several things will locate it for them if they do a search online or go to Amazon or their local bookseller. they'll be able to obtain a copy of it. Pat, thank you for sharing your life and your story with us, and I have a feeling there'll be more to come in the future.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. For Inspiring Voices, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Congratulations on getting your book published. The effort you put into your work is truly commendable. But what's next? What will happen to all the knowledge you have worked so hard to acquire to produce your book? Here at TogiNet Radio, we can provide you a platform to keep your knowledge working for you through the power of podcast. The subjects our podcasts cover are as varied as the grains of sand on a beach. From life coaching, to military resources, to business success, even to the paranormal. We have a place for everyone. To get started on your next step, call Scott at 903-787-5880 or email him at scott@toginetradio.com. That's S-C-O-T-T at TOGINETRADIO.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is interesting, titled Crossing That Foggy Bridge. And joining me is the author who joins me from Minnesota, where it's cold in the winter and sometimes snows. Apparently not today. Beverly Eastler. Welcome to the program, Beverly.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Your book deals with your personal journey and, has probably some content that for some would be difficult to discuss. You talk about depression, and many of us in this universe face difficult times. This book is your journey, correct?
Correct. And that journey started when I was 12 years old.
Wow. I'm not saying wow from it's that you're now 16 and have only gone through it for 3 years. You look like you're an adult, at least over 30. How long did this depression last in your life, and what triggered it?
Well, I actually still deal with it on an occasional basis. I didn't learn until I was probably in my 50s what actually triggered it and what caused it to last so long. So actually it was an event in my childhood when I was 10 or 11 that kind of set things going the wrong way for me in my thinking and my belief about who I am. And I just never felt like I was worth anything just because of certain events, and because of, when we're children, we don't think clearly. We think the world revolves around us. And so if something bad happens to us, we think it was our fault. That's kind of how I got started in my life. Everything bad was my fault.
That happens. And I'm a, what would you call it, maybe a perfectionist in some areas and also a creative. And I understand you have a creative background. You are a musician.
Yeah.
So there's an added layer of desire to do it right, no matter what it is that you do in life. Did music have an effect on your life in a positive way?
Oh, music has been my life. If it weren't for my musical talent and all of the opportunities I've had to use it, I may not have wanted to stick around.
Wow.
I just love music, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I still do. I'm not playing publicly now, but it has been my life. Without it, I felt empty. And it brings joy to my life. It lights up my world.
I understand how that works. I have the same passion in my life. I've been a vocalist for all of my life since I was 4 years old. and unfortunately don't have the talent to play instruments. I don't know what that is. I have a mental block. But when it comes to the music, it does affect your thinking a great deal. In fact, you mentioned a well-known Christian artist, Kathy Tricoli. Her music had an impact on you. Share what that is all about.
Absolutely. Well, her music, she writes most of her own lyrics, if not all of them. And her lyrics talk about her life and her heart and what has impacted her both positively and negatively. And she speaks to the real person in me. So that has had a terrific impact on my life.
I feel what
she feels.
I can relate to that. You have also mentioned a faith element in your book that has become an important part of what you are and are becoming, correct?
Absolutely, yes. And yes, I became a Christian when I was just, I don't know, 10 or 11. And I have grown through my faith throughout the years. And that also, besides the music, that is the one other thing that has kept me from giving up on life.
Beautiful.
Because I knew the Lord was with me and guiding me, and he had plans for me, and I just had to wait and try to find out what those plans were.
Absolutely a difficult task for anyone who is going through life. And you talk about depression. That is something that's very common in our universe, at least I think it is. I've got family members who have had some tough struggles. How did you deal with it? What got you straightened out or encouraged you to look at life in a positive way?
Well, over the last probably 20 years, I've seen a number of therapists, psychologists, and just talking about what was going on in my life. And fortunately, I hooked up with a couple of really excellent Christian therapists who brought Jesus into the picture. Mm. And that changed everything for me. Although I was a Christian, I said I was a Christian since I was a child, but learning to understand what that really means and develop that relationship with the Lord is something that takes a long time, or it can take a long time. And I just felt like it took me a long time to grow up and understand about life.
You've subtitled the contents of your book, Crossing That Foggy Bridge is From Pain to Peace, From Depression to Delight. I like the word delight. That is certainly not a common word. At least you wouldn't think it would be the natural outcropping of depression. In your book, you have 206 pages. Is it a journal of your life, or how would you describe it?
No, it's not really a journal. I began writing this book because through my struggle with depression, I just felt like I wasn't getting any answers to what is this all about? Why am I in such a bad place? And it was through lots of bad times and good times and learning from people that I learned that a lot of depression is about doing life. We don't learn how to do life when we're kids. We don't learn things like how to make good choices or how to set good boundaries or how to think clearly and positively. And as I learned those things over the last 20 years, I realized that was my problem. I didn't know how to do life. Hmm. And so I started to learn to ask better questions instead of asking things like, what's wrong with me? Why am I such a fool? Why doesn't anybody like me? Why about myself? That wasn't doing me any good.
Wow.
It was dragging me down. And so I started to learn to ask better questions, more positive questions. What can I learn from this?
Beautiful.
And I started asking that question of the Lord, too. Lord, what do you want me to learn here?
very important questions, and a journey of your type is filled with those kind of questions. But I also found in your book that there are some solutions that are natural solutions. I've got relatives that are on meds and other things, or have tried meds, and we've tried to warn them that's a bad idea. Did you discover diet input or important dieting or food intake is also a key ingredient to a positive attitude?
Well, that's part of it, but that hasn't been my experience.
Hmm.
I've been on meds for years, and it's been helpful. And I tried going off of it a couple of times, and I regretted that choice. So the meds do help. I would never recommend that somebody stop taking the meds, because they're there for a reason. Our bodies are flawed, and we need some scientific help with our body's chemistry and all of that. So the thing that I did through this book, instead of just telling a story, is I highlighted each of those new questions that I learned to ask myself about making better choices, asking myself, what am I thinking? Why am I reacting this way? Learning better ways to respond to people and to situations. And I think that those are the things that most people have difficulty with. And it's those difficulties in life that drag us down and pull us into that dark place that we don't know how to get out of. So that was the focus of my book, and that was the reason I wrote the book, because people don't understand that life can drag you down. Obviously, there's some depression that is caused by chemical issues in our bodies, and that's why it's important to talk to doctors. But I discovered by talking with some counselors and some other research people that 85% of depression is a result of how we do life.
Mm.
Life just comes and stomps on us, and we don't know how to fight back. So I've learned how to fight back.
that's an important skill, and it sounds like you have a positive attitude, certainly from conversation, and you seem like you have a sunny outlook. I'm sure every day is not that way, but your book is, would you call it clinical in its style, or is it a conversation?
It is more of a conversation. It's not clinical, definitely. There are a few places in there where I describe clinical things based on some research. But no, I discuss these various issues that everybody encounters. Relationships are difficult, and that's where we run into most of our problems, I think, is, relationships. We don't know how to do that. And so I discuss each of those and the things that I've learned about those issues. And then I also tell pieces of my story, which kind of demonstrates what I'm trying to explain. So, it's been quite a journey, and the Lord has been with me through the whole thing, and He actually helped me write this book. So,
wow, well, that's a comment that you can't get a better commendation than that, I don't think. From a reviewer, you have also have a passion or an interest in poetry, and have included some of those thoughts in your book as well.
Yes.
You say,
I've been writing poetry for most of my life. I just love the rhythm and the sound and all of that. So,
has any of your poetry been put to music since you are a music person?
Well, I tried to write a song. I put a poem to music myself a number of years ago.
Hmm.
Never did anything with it, but I have gotten a tradition going over the last 15 years or so that instead of sending out one of those, here's what I did this year, letters at Christmas time,
right.
I write a poem and send that out.
Oh, that's great. Meaningful to those who receive that, I'm sure.
Poetry has a way of speaking to the heart like music does, you know, unlike just a story or something.
Is there any one thing that you think maybe floats to the top on what you've discovered that would be helpful to the reader that maybe you didn't think of when you were writing the book, but in looking back, there's either a moral or there's something else that perhaps is striking about your book content?
Well, for me, of course, the most important part of life is understanding where Jesus fits into the picture and building a relationship with him. Because ultimately, it's his word, the Bible, that tells us how to live, really. And so I've woven that through the entire book as the way he has spoken to me and brought clarity to some of these issues for me. So for me, that's the most important focus. And that's what I want people to take away is, if you're not already a Christian, maybe I need to look into this and see what's special about it, because it changes your life, literally.
Beautiful. Now, the book itself is not as focused or directed to Christian readers necessarily. It's to anybody, but the content does point
exactly
in that direction. So beautifully put. The title of the book, again, is Crossing That Foggy Bridge, From Pain to Peace, From Depression to Delight. Beverly Eastler has been my guest author. Beverly, where can my listeners get copies of your book?
Right now, it's available on Amazon. It's available as a hardback, a paperback, and also on Kindle. It's also available through Barnes & Noble online. I'm not sure if it's in their bookstores or not, but obviously you can go to their store and order it. It's also available on a website called Bible Gateway, and it's available on ChristianBook.com.
Fabulous.
So it's out there online, if not in bookstores at this time. So
fabulous. Well, thank you for your courage in sharing your personal journey and for the contents of this book, which will, I'm sure, impact in a positive way thousands of people who take the time to read it. They can also request it from their local bookseller by the title Crossing That Foggy Bridge, or by the author name Beverly Eastler, E-A-S-L-E-R. Thanks, Bev, for joining me today and sharing your story.
You're welcome. Thank you.
My pleasure. For Hindi Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Girlfriend It is on TuggyNet, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriend It principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out GirlfriendIt.com. And then be a part of Girlfriend It, the radio show, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important, just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriendit.com. Don't miss Girlfriend It with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is Walking in the Power of the Almighty Creator. That's a big order. And the writer of this book, of this edition, is Luis A. Gonzalez, who joins me from California. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you.
You had
Thanks for having me.
You had a startling event, or I guess a major event in your life in 1994 that apparently has had some influence on this book and how it was written. 164 pages. What motivated you to share your story?
Okay, great. Well, after I had that encounter experience with the Almighty God, I started to notice many miracles or supernatural events started to take place in my life shortly thereafter. For example, this in the book, I mentioned the story about the accounting professor and the scholarship testimonial story. Once I started experiencing these divine interactions and interventions, I started to get very, very excited about God and his power to really help us. It was around the year 2001, which I felt a strong desire and inclination to start putting together ideas for writing the book and to tell others, including unbelievers, about God's love and his power to help us and to save us. But it would be in the near future once I had acquired more life experience. The Lord himself, I believe, pressed this upon me and motivated me to write the book. He made it clear to me that in the future, I must tell others about all he has done for me so as to encourage them, so they too could experience his unfailing love and miracle-working power in their lives as they draw closer to him. I was not to keep this power a secret. I was to share this with the world.
And you were vaccinated with this desire and with this passion for at least 25 years now, and it doesn't sound like it's dissipated.
Not at all. You know, once you have an encounter with the Almighty God and that put things in perspective, you realize that, you know, he is the source of all life and we're all connected to him. And, you know, meeting him was one of the most amazing experiences that I've had. When I met him personally, it changed my life forever. I was never, ever the same. And it kind of lit a fire in me. It got me on the path of walking that straight and narrow path that leads to everlasting life. And a path where I would develop that relationship and develop my spirituality.
Well, as you completed this book and as you began to write it, you must have had a target audience in mind. Who did you think this book might appeal to, and how would it impact them, do you think?
Sure. Well, you know, this book first and foremost, it really should appeal to the believers. And because they're going to be able to relate to a lot of the things that I mentioned in the book, like some of the scriptures and some of the, you know, references that I use. But then the book should also appeal to a non-believer or unbeliever skeptics. I want to show people that God really does exist and that his power is there to help you along the way.
You have noted that maybe people who don't share your view or your vision or maybe your understanding of the Lord's work or of God might be impacted positively by your book. What do you want the reader to take away from this, whether they're a believer or a skeptic?
Yeah, I would like the reader to take away the fact that, you know, God is as real as you and I are. And he is a resource for everyone. You know, you don't have to be super spiritual or an ordained minister to hear God speak to you and to walk in his power. What you do need to do is you need to develop that relationship, make an investment in that relationship. And over time, as you learn to walk with God the way Noah did and the way Abraham did and Isaac and Jacob, that miracle-working power is going to begin to manifest in your life.
You have mentioned there are specific scenes or incidences that have impacted you and that you share in the book. Is there one specifically that, or maybe your personal encounter that you think will stand out to the reader?
You know, I've had a number of miraculous events that happened, from professors to, you know, things that happen at work, where God divinely intervenes on my behalf to help me through these challenges and these obstacles. But I would like to highlight, if I may, just for a moment,
sure,
meeting the Almighty God, the Creator. In the spring of 1994, you know, I was going through some hard times. I was a young man in college, and I was struggling in school, and, you know, I wasn't happy with my place of employment. I was dissatisfied with just a number of things. I was having a hard time in my personal relationships as well. And this is when I began to shout at God, and I told him, I said, Almighty Creator, you know, this message is for you. And what happened at that time is I gave him a laundry list of complaints about what I didn't like. And to my great surprise, he actually showed up.
Wow.
And he manifested himself to me. And it was I was so shocked that he was in front of me and real that I was, you know, it was a life-changing and life-transforming experience. You know, I got a chance to see what he looked like. I got a chance to experience his love, his awesome power, you know, his justice. And I realized in the end of the experience that, hey, we're not alone. And that we have a Heavenly Father that cares about us. And he's willing not just to, he's willing to help us through any challenge that we have. All we need to do is take the time to talk to him, or what I like to call prayer time, and learn to walk with him, you know, some of the patriarchs did and some of our ancestors did. And once we learn to do that, as I mentioned, you're going to begin to experience him in such a wonderful and amazing way. But getting back to meeting him, he showed me that I'd like to just point out a few things about him.
Sure.
When I met him and when I saw him personally, he showed me that there's four things about him that stood out the most. Number one, he is infinite power. And I was having trouble trying to figure out how strong is he? Because when you look at a child or a bodybuilder, you can kind of gauge how strong this individual is. You know, but when he was speaking to me, I didn't know where it began or where it ended. This was awesome power. It seemed like unlimited power. This power had no beginning or end. It was infinite power that he has. And his love for us was like infinite love as well. And his understanding and wisdom, I experienced, reached into infinity. He knew everything about everything. And while he was showing me all this stuff about him, you know, characteristics of his being, he showed me a side of him that he really wants us to walk and to practice justice, meaning that he doesn't want us to hurt people, to lie, to steal, to cheat. He's really into justice. Hmm. And at the end of the experience, he backed everything up. He answered my prayer, and it was a life-changing moment. But I want the listener to know that this God is as real as apple pie. He is real as you and I. All we need to do is make a commitment and make an investment in that relationship with him, and then he will begin to manifest himself to you.
That is could be a loaded question or a loaded statement from my perspective. Have you met others that have done the same as you and are following the Lord or following God in the same manner or experiencing the supernatural in their lives?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that, Jay. There are a lot of people. I'm not alone, and, you know, no one has a monopoly on God. There are a number of people that pray regularly. They attend a house of worship in their community. They walk the talk. And when they live a life to surrender to Christ and to surrender to him, guess what? They're going to experience these many miracles in their lives as well. I've run into people throughout my life and said, listen, what God did for me, I had this issue. My child was sick and the child recovered. Or I wanted this promotion. And they said no, but all of a sudden we did some corporate prayer. And guess what? This individual ended up getting the promotion. On and on. I've heard testimonies throughout the years from people. But what all these people have in common, Jay, is that they decided to give up a little bit of their time each week and make that investment in developing that relationship with Almighty God. And if you can find the time to be on the television for 2 hours or on your computer for a couple of hours or on your cell phones for a couple of hours, surely you can find 10 to 15 minutes a day to call upon his great, awesome, and mighty name and tell him, listen, I need a helping hand today. Can you guide me? Would you help me make the best decisions today? And if you start that way, you're going to start strong and you're going to finish strong. And so I encourage people to do that, because answering your question, I've met countless people along the way, Jay, who've had similar experiences as I have.
That's an encouragement right there. And I'm assuming that last statement or two actually would cover your way of introducing the book to someone and getting them interested, because what you have described is a personal relationship with the Creator. And this is what you feel from your book and its content will challenge them and also improve their life if they were to follow the guidelines and the inspiration that you've written down. Now, is your book similar to others in the marketplace, or would you say it's a little bit different because it's dealing with your personal relationship, your personal walk?
You know, that's another great question, Jay. And I'm gonna say it this way. You know, my publisher called me up and said, Luis, I'd like to tell you something. You know, the thing that's different about your book is that a lot of ministers and clergy, when they write books, or others, when they write books about their faith, they're writing it from a standpoint of what they've learned in seminary or in some educational institution, and sometimes through their life experiences. But when you write, your voice is very authentic. These people know about God, but you actually know him personally. Mm. You know him intimately. And so my voice is, I've been told, is very authentic because I've actually met him.
Wow.
And once you meet this God, he's so awesome, he's so mighty, once you meet him personally, it doesn't leave you. It changes you. It helps you to become a better person. It helps you to become more balanced and more focused. And so my voice, I've been told, is very authentic because I don't just know about it. I've actually met him, Jay.
Beautiful.
So that's what the difference is.
You have written 164 pages. This is your first book or first effort. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And as a first effort, many authors have some challenges. Did you have any challenges in putting the book together and getting it ready for print?
Well, you know, it's the first time I've ever written a book before. So what you want to do is, I did a little research on what's the best approach to take. And I did get a couple editors to kind of work with me early on before I even went to publishing. So that was a tremendous support and tremendous help for me. Writing came easy for me because I'm passionate about what I'm writing. I am so excited about God and his power. Once he starts releasing his miracle working power in your lives, you're going to want to share and tell the world about all the wonderful things he's done for you. So writing is not a difficult part. Editing was.
Mm-hmm. And personal experiences. I know chapter 7 was a little bit of a challenge for you, and maybe even chapter 9 was another highlight of your book. Share with my listeners just a little of what that content entailed.
Sure. This is a chapter that I really want your audience to think about and pay attention to, because this is one the Lord gave me directly. In my prayer time, the Lord told me, I want you to write this chapter. And the title of this chapter is The Reconciliation of a Father and a Son.
Mm.
This was the most challenging chapter to write because of all the sadness and the abuse that I endured. I actually wept, Jay, as I wrote it. And it was a time in my life where I was being physically and verbally abused as a child. And there was little I could do about the situation. But it was also the time when the Lord first began to intervene in my life and began to speak to me audibly and bless me. I would hear his voice audibly, Jay, and he would show up in my life. And this all happened in the middle of all that crisis. This is when the Lord first began to speak to me as a child, and when I first began to hear his voice. And so it was the hardest time, but it's actually the most interesting and the best time as well.
Wow. Luis, you touched on chapter 9 a little bit. What is the title of that chapter, and what is it talking about?
Sure. That chapter, Jay, is titled For the Business Leader and Sales Professional, What They Don't Teach You in Business School. And the reason I wrote this chapter, Jay, is because I went to business school, you know, and I have a bachelor's in management, and I also have an MBA.
Mm.
And from the Bible, spiritual principles that I was able to apply to the business world when I worked in banking and in retail management. And I want you to know something. By applying some of the techniques that you learned in this book, I was able to become the top banker in my bank within my city. And that led me to received several promotions. I became the top assistant branch manager, and then I eventually became the top branch manager. And my district managers, the DMs, and various other high-performing bankers and individuals were trying to figure out how I was doing it. But it's real simple. I was just using biblical principles that have been in use for thousands of years. People, you just have to know what they are and how to use them. But just to come to a close of what I'd like to tell you about this is that my branch, when I took over the bank, it was ranked like number 79 out of 100 out of 100 branches. And then in less than 1 year and 10 months, that branch became number 2 in the entire Bay Area. It was the number 2 bank, and my bank was in the top 5 percentile.
Wow.
And so I was able to achieve that by applying the spiritual principles that I've learned in God's word and just do it through the business world. And I was able to become very, very, very successful. And so that's why this chapter is very, very exciting because, you know, God's word, you can apply God's word to today's modern day times. You just need to know what those are and how to do it. And then once you do that, you're going to be on to just a wonderful career and you're going to be on to and enjoying prosperity and success.
Oh, that's fascinating. And I will mention this. It sounds like that chapter alone is worth the price of admission. So I encourage people to get a copy of that. Well, I feel like this book is definitely a bearing of the soul and a sharing of the soul as well, the title of which, again, is Walking in the Power of the Almighty Creator. And my author, who has joined me from California, is Luis A. Gonzalez. Now, sir, you, I think, will be able to share some ways my listeners can get a copy of this. Where can they find it?
Sure. So you can go to the website walkingintopower.org, and my publisher is Westbow Press. So if you want to go to that website, you can go ahead and get yourself a copy there. My book is also sold through Amazon's online service. So if you type in Walking the Power of the Almighty Creator by Luis A. Gonzalez, you'll be able to order it there, get there in a few days. And then the book is also being sold through Barnes & Noble. So I have good news to share. The book is in all 50 states right now currently in over 300-plus Barnes & Noble stores physically on the shelf. So
you don't
have to wait. So
that's fabulous news.
There's a few ways to get a hold of the book.
Absolutely great. Well, that's a testimonial to the power of the content. So, again, I recommend it for you listeners. Get a copy of this if you are curious about spiritual faith and spiritual life. If you're a believer, then this is a book that will also encourage you. Again, the title is Walking in the Power of the Almighty Creator. Luis A. Gonzalez is my author, and thank you, Luis, for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me, Jay.
Honored to visit with you. I have a feeling we may visit in the future with the next book. Is there something in the works already?
Well, we're going to see how this first book turns out. If the people are interested in this, I got plenty more to come. I have so many inspirational testimonies I'd like to let people know about. But let's see how this one does, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, listeners, go to a bookstore. Help this book begin to rise in popularity. Again, thank you for joining me today, Luis. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again next week at noon Eastern.